Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are finishing our recasting of Survivor 50. What we thought was going to be a one-part episode turned into a two-part episode after we went an hour and 38 minutes about the old school players, old school in air quotes, because it just counts as pre-40, so I guess Rick Devens is old school at this point. But today, Mike Bloom is back, and we are going to be recasting the 12 new era players with placements that are equivalent into the placement of these players, which this one's easier because there's less to pull from and everybody only played once. So that makes it very, very easy. And then because we don't know the two 49ers, what they did, how they did, anything like that, we're just going to kind of do that as what, Mike? We said pre-merge or just anybody? What do you think?
To Jelinski.
Yeah, I mean, that's the question is, you know, these are clearly wild card spots, right? The question is, how wild do we want to get? Do you want to just open it up to anybody you want to throw in there? Because on the one hand, while that does invite, you know, the opportunity when you look at this list without context to be like, okay, good, you took care of the obvious snubs, it does, you know, prevent us from they say pressure makes coal out of diamonds, or vice versa. And so there also could be a context to maybe restricting it to only people who didn't make the jury, since, you know, that does cut off. We would imagine that nobody who didn't make the jury, much like Kat Ederson famously stated, would be considered for courtship when it came to Survivor 50. So I'll leave it up to you guys. You know, this is your podcast. Would you rather go with the more widespread categorization of anybody who doesn't fit into these placements, or do we really want to restrict ourselves to pre-jury only?
Well, what do you think?
I think the more restrictions are the more fun. Like if we're just saying, oh, it can be anyone from the new era. It feels like it makes, and also I think it makes the first part of this process a little bit easier, because then we don't have to like debate between, because there's some spots here. Like we said, everyone just played one time. So it's like, you can only pick one fifth place or one sixth place or one second place or one third place. There's a couple spots where we double up at winner. And I believe at fourth. Yeah. So it's tougher overall. So I'd like to restrict ourselves, make the decisions trickier, and have better conversation, I think.
Plus also, I think, you know, the fact of the matter is some people by and large feel like, for better or for worse, the strongest part of the new era is its casting, as much as comments might be leveraged about how homogenous it is. And so obviously when you have great cast, but you know, a game where someone has to go home first, second, third, it is going to leave a considerable amount of people that, again, were probably not in consideration for season 50 proper. And so this is our opportunity to be able to maybe address and shine a spotlight on those people who were not given the time of day because they were voted out within the first 7 episodes of the season.
And maybe put the thought into the CBS minds here of like, do a second chance too. And if you are going to do a second chance too, and you're looking for your Kimmy Kappenberg type pre-merge player to come back,
Kelly
and play
Wentworth.
Again. Yeah, Kelly Wentworth. These are the players that maybe you could be looking at. And we throw two people a bone here and say, hey, like, we got your back. You know, if you're ever on that ballot, we'll be voting for you. Because I do think that there's a bit of a call now for another fan vote. And I wouldn't be surprised if after 50, Survivor does maybe try to put that into motion a little bit. Because
how
I do think
funny would that be? They call a season in the hands of the fans, no fan vote, and we're picking buff colors. And then the very next season, there's a fan vote.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something?
I don't know, man. Like I love the Survivor fan base. Of course I do. The internet, and particularly the community around this show from an online perspective, has changed instrumentally in the 10 years since we did that vote. I would be, quite frankly, incredibly nervous if we opened up the floodgates again to another fan vote. I totally agree with you, Will, that like if there was a time to do it, in the hands of the fans is the theme to do so. But, oh, man. I mean, if you really want the proxy battle of the stands going to war, I suppose you could reopen the fan vote.
I think that the hunger right now is so much more insane, because I remember when Will and I had just started doing the podcast when Second Chance came around, and that's what, honestly, what helped us to launch a little bit, was the fact that we start off and they just go right into a returning player season. So people were so hungry for content. But we started with that, and I remember that was back during the Google Hangouts days. So my little circle was Savage, and I was like, I want Terry on this cast more than Savage, but Savage is the one who needs my votes. And so I kept Savage in the bottom there, and I would just tell people all the time. And Savage ended up getting on, and I was really, really excited about that. And I feel like there wasn't that same, like, it's like tribal now. It's like, no, like, I am a stan of this person, therefore I must hate this other one. And I feel like you'd get so many people who would go the route of, well, I'm picking Shan, so I'm going to leave off Carolyn or something like that, like almost trying to offset votes and then end up screwing everything up in some really, really wild way. So
I don't know. I would be shocked if there were a fan vote and Carolyn didn't make it. I don't think there's a reality where that exists.
Yeah. I wonder if Carolyn's going to make our cast here when we go through this. I want to just re-go through what we did last time and also talk about what the rules are. So the rules for this are, nobody who's actually on the cast right now will be on the final cast. So we are replacing the people who are on the cast now with people who were not cast on this season, who were of the same placement. So when we did the old school, this is what we ended up doing. We had Jenna was replaced by Jerry. Colby was replaced by Sean Rector. Stephanie was replaced by James, which still makes me smile. Sari was replaced by Colleen. Ozzy was replaced by Malcolm. Coach was replaced by Shane. Aubrey was replaced by T-Bird. Chrissy was replaced by Amanda. Angelina was replaced by Rob Cesternino. Mike was replaced by Dom. Christian was replaced by Abby Maria. And Devins was replaced by Kelly Wentworth. So that's what we're doing now for the new era. We're only going to take into consideration the 8 seasons that we have seen. And like we said, with the 2 49ers, we're just going to be going pre-jury and seeing what happens there.
So. And then once again, our restrictions, even more so than the restrictions we set upon ourselves for our last two, is that it has to fall within the exact same placement as that person. So we are not directly subbing out, okay, we get rid of this person, let's bring in another archetype or another gender or ethnic breakdown. We do want to provide, I think, an even gender balance at the end of this, though. You know, there will be someone from the new era that we're talking about who is non-binary, though I think they made the jury, so I think they'd be discounted from this anyway. Apologies to Dr. Abby Jagoda. But we still want to make this an even gender balance, so it might require some switching out as well. As Phil mentioned, we substituted men for women and vice versa last time. But our one big goal is that we want to mimic placement for placement. This is basically like if we're looking at the universe of the Survivor 50 cast we have and like shift it slightly to the left, where for whatever reason, we had to mimic the exact same placements, but replace it with completely different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that this one's going to be so much easier because there are some placements where we're sitting here going, what the hell? How did they pick this person over that person? And it's not to say that I keep talking about the 50 cast. Now that we're in it, I'm just, you know, it's March Madness for me. These are the people I'm excited now to fill up my bracket. Like I'm pissed at the snubs. We're going to forget about the snubs eventually. And now let's just see how it's going to play out. So I am really excited about what we're going to watch. And we've been doing so much content about this season, about these players. You know, I recorded a whole bunch of defining episodes last night with John and McKenna. And we were talking about, Tiffany and Q and all that. And as you start going through that 46 stretch of hide and seek and then Spicy Jeff, it's just an incredible stretch of Survivor. And it's so much fun. And it did make me say, you know what? Tiffany earned her spot here. She might still, to me, be like the 22nd person in terms of the massiveness of a lot of these players and how deep a lot of them went. But she's an amazing TV and has a head for the game. So I'm excited for it. But there are some very, very, very blatant omissions in the new era, I think more so than even the old school. And I think we're going to start off because we're going in chronological order. That's what we did last time. And if we're starting off with Jonathan, who's fourth place on 42, I think this is probably the easiest replacement we could possibly have. And Mike, you're nodding, so I don't know if you want to just go with it. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah, to prevent, I don't know if he'll come on and reveal the massive amount of money that his son just won courtesy of Mr. Beast, but he is a beast in the game when it came to season 43. We got to bring up somebody who I think a lot of people said was a major snub, especially from a new era perspective. Someone that I think a lot of people thought would have been locked in just from a pure cast perspective, especially knowing that what we know now, where basically half the cast is going to be new era in season 50. We got to put Jesse Lopez in the line of fire, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. Will, I mean, I know that Jesse is pretty much your favorite of the new era. Even if you haven't said that, it feels like he is, the way you talk about Jesse and his blind side of Cody and things like that. Written in permanent marker, right?
Yeah, and I agree with you, Phil. I'm getting more and more excited for this season, so I don't want to like really get too negative. But when, and Mike, you kind of just alluded to this, even if season 50 was not half and half new era, it felt like Jesse was going to be a lock. Like, even if they did three new era players, it would be like Jesse's one of those three. At least that's what I thought going in. So he, to me, outside of maybe one other person that will come up later, is like the single or maybe a top two biggest omission from this cast. And one of like the, like some of that negativity comes from this person specifically, from Jesse not being here, especially someone who like got so close to winning, was such a fan favorite. Like the story's built in, like, can he do it again? Like, can he like go all the way this time and actually win? We miss Jesse here. So this is absolutely a lock.
I mean, there's a lot of great narratives coming in here of like, sort of like we talked about with Dominic of, okay, can he find a Cody again? Can he find someone to partner up with? How is he now going to come in? Because one of the major reasons why he did so well is because he was so underestimated that for the longest time, he did have Cody as sort of a meat shield with a butt tattoo. Like, can he... Now he's coming in regarded as one of the best players to not win in the new era. Can he still make magic happen once more? Is anyone going to give him an idol ever again after what he was able to pull off last time? There were just a lot of big questions coming into this second time around. So let's give Jesse the second chance that unfortunately he did not receive in reality.
Yeah, and I think Dom is the best example here because to me, like, there are bigger omissions, I feel, that it's like, like Malcolm to me feels like maybe a bigger omission than Dom, because you would think for this type of celebration season, seeing how they cast it with a lot of 3- and 4-time players, Malcolm feels like he fits that maybe better than Dom. But in terms of the one-timers who felt like locks up until this cast was announced or until they announced themselves on Twitter or X or Instagram or whatever, if like Jesse is that Dom level of, after we all watched Ghost Island, we all said, oh man, can't wait for Dom 2.0. That's going to be something, huh? We might never get Dom 2.0. And now you look at Jesse and that might be the same situation. And I think on a season where the winner is very polarizing and the season in general is very polarizing, I know Will and I both love it. We think it's one of the best seasons.
Big Gabler fans, but the two of you.
I think Ala Gabler is fun.
Okay, yeah. Listen, I don't know if we're planting a seed for Phil to excavate when we get to the winners that we have to bring over.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it's like the Gabler of it all. I've always said, like, I don't judge a Survivor season based on who wins. Like, that's totally like agree. The totally last agree. 10% of one of the episodes, or maybe 15% of one of the episodes. I know that means a lot to some people. For me, it's week-to-week entertainment. And, like, to me, season 43, like, really brought it throughout. It felt like we were consistently moving, especially that post-merge with Jesse and Cody running the show and then Jesse turning on Cody. It was, to me, like pound for pound, just episode to episode, so, so good. I probably have it number one or number two in the era, new era, maybe 47. Yeah. So
I think I have it up there too.
Wow, I mean, it's one, two, three. I love this. I love the spiciness. You mentioned spicy Jeff. We got spicy specialist here, the specialist.
Yeah, we've always liked 43 and it just get. I think people just don't like Gabler and don't like that he won, and like I get that. If that's what you watch Survivor for, then I hear you. We were just doing Nicaragua on our Patreon, and it's like Fabio's kind of a random winner, but to me, like, that doesn't make the season, like, I mean, there's already things wrong with that season, but like I enjoy a random winner sometimes. Like, I especially going into Final Tribal Council when you don't know who's going to win, to me that's like what you want out of a finale. So like, season 43 has a lot going for it.
I mean, yeah, not to derail this and make this about a Survivor 43 debrief, I would say that maybe not a lot of people's low feelings towards the season are directly connected to Gabler. I think that's largely the connotation to it. I mean, I would say the cast is full of lovely people. I would not say, especially compared to a lot of the seasons that follow, there are like huge standout personalities. Like, I love Carla. I love Owen. I think Noelle had an interesting story. But I do think, especially compared to some of the big character-filled cast that come afterwards, that's not necessarily this season. I think 43 also gets off to a bit of a slow start when we have, like, especially when you're pointing to some of the worser qualities of New Era pre-merges, when you have, like, four women going in a row and all that stuff. I still think it is a solid season, but I think, you know, if people are trying to predicate seasons based on the cast, there are some people, you know, that definitely pop off the charts. But I would say maybe compared to, again, some of the wackadoodles we're going to get in future seasons, that quota is not necessarily met on season 43.
Yeah. I have a couple other 43 people that I have in consideration as we go through this. I do think that it's absolutely insane, though, that season 43 does not have a representative on season 50. And I also think that it's crazy that season 44 doesn't have a representative on 50. Yeah. And I think it's crazy that season 41, where we dropped the four and kept the one, like, do you think that they ever would have done All-Stars if they couldn't get somebody from Borneo? Absolutely not. So I think that there's a lot of misses here in favor of a lot of recency bias. And we'll get into that. We'll get into that as we roll through. But Jesse's a lock. Okay, so yeah. We all have Jesse. That's easy. The biggest omission, I think, in my opinion, and there's no ugliness around season 43 that there is in the way that there was with, like, Island of the Idols. So yeah. Really, I think that this is an unforgivable omission by the casting team. I really do.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we go to season 45. I went with the seventh placer first.
Let's do that, because I think there's obviously going to be, I mean, granted, the smallest pool is going to be the winners, obviously, because we already have two of them on. So yeah. The seventh placer is much more wide open field, because it's going to be literally everyone except Emily who's in contention here.
Exactly. Everybody. Who was that, Will?
I just said exactly.
Oh, okay, sorry. Gotcha. I was looking at a different page. That's my fault. So who's the first one that comes to your mind, Mike? I'm going to open this up to you first. I want to know who do you think the obvious one is? And then you have, like, a long shot dark horse that you'd hope is in consideration for this.
Yeah. So my number one with a bullet, quote, someone who made his way onto the realistic 50 cast. Not in this case, they say you could see Venus from Earth and we're going to see Venus on this cast. I think, and the seventh placers, I mean, something that we're going to get into with the new era is that the meta is usually right, like the eighth, seventh, sixth, fifth, fourth placers, just because they go a little big game hunting towards the end of the game, are going to be these massive personalities, massive strategic threats, etc., that end up getting taken out. Venus was sort of like Survivor 46 in a person, in that she was super contentious, super argumentative, huge personality, incredibly funny, and just had a massive impact on things. Even if, you know, from a strategic perspective, she was this kind of, like, you know, bottom feeding, mush her own chagrin player who was able to make her way in good with some people until she got voted out with an idol in her pocket. I think when a lot of people, especially last year after 46, were prognosticating their own cast. I mean, RHAP, we did the fan vote for 50 and Venus made it onto the final cast. I think, especially given the fact that she was just recently speculated to be on the Traitors Canada, I think it's very clear there's an appetite to have Venus Vapa back on our screens.
Yeah. I think that she's the obvious one here for seventh placers. I don't know if Will's going to agree with us here, but when I did this, that seemed like an easy choice. There are some good seventh placers, though. And so, Will, I don't know. Are you on the Venus train or did you have somebody else?
I hate to just hop in with agreeing now, two picks in a row, but these first two were very easy. It was Jesse, slam dunk, and then Venus, slam dunk. There are some other good names in here, but none that rise up to Venus. Like, Venus stands out here.
I mean, I could see a world where, like, Caroline has a bit of a story in that she did have a lesser edit. But I think, you know, if you talk with anyone from 47, one of the major reasons why, you know, getting Caroline out was such a big thing from Operation Italy was because she was in such a good position and had such good observations to her. I mean, somebody like Mary, who I very recently talked to in the postseason interview, is such a fun personality who, I think, to a certain regard, did not get a fair shake the majority of her season because, as she sort of put it, she came into a post-merge situation where, like, everybody kind of had somebody and she lost the one person that she had in David and then was just kind of, you know, for the umpteenth time, this underdog fighting against this big majority alliance. And listen, for many reasons, there is no way I can imagine that she would come back. But if we were somehow living in the alternate universe where certain events did not go down, I think there would have been a fair shot of Drea coming back because of the massive impact she had. She was flushed with advantages at a certain point before they got flushed away from her.
Yeah, I think Drea, also another name that I like to throw around just so people don't forget her. I think Liana was TV gold in 41. Mm. Now, if you're talking for seventh placers, does she hit the Emily level? Does she hit the Venus level? No. But Liana, when you watch 41, Liana and Xander's relationship is one of the highlights of that season, in my opinion. So I do.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. Exactly. Well, yeah, I know. 41.
I mean, that's when we get to see the amazing, awesome advantage knowledge is power. Seriously, not like being facetious here, Mike. I think knowledge is power is actually a phenomenal advantage. I think it's written away where it makes it sound a little hokey and corny and that you're not allowed to lie, but like it is a go fish mechanic that I actually think is a very, very good new era advantage. There's a lot of bad ones, but this, I am a big defender of knowledge is power. And yeah, Liana is one I would like to see, but I agree, Mike. I think if I had to pick number two after Venus, I would go Mary. As much as I wasn't like the biggest season 48 fan, she got kind of completely screwed. Like she fell to the bottom quickly pre-merge. And then, like you said, she had no one post-merge. And she had kind of this like fun, smunky attitude. I think she would actually be very fun to have her on a returning season.
And she's not afraid to scrap considering how much she got into it with Say. Obviously, she had the big Shaun the Dark play. I also see, I think it's Brian in the chat who's saying that, you know, we didn't, I guess, again, do this like one-for-one comparison. But Mary is a fun parallel to Emily in that both survived their disaster tribes, was able to get in good with a couple of people only to get, you know, not even blindsided in Mary's case, but taken out at the final seven.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Good,
and
good point. Like we're going more the doppelganger route. Like that would probably be more an apt pick there.
Yeah. And I think that that would be like the closest for sure with Emily, although Caroline and Emily play a similar style of game little bit, but all right, so we're going now to D, the winner of Survivor 45. And I don't know how you all felt about this, but having one man and one female winner, I just decided that I was going to choose one male and one female winner from this bunch. Now, maybe you guys disagree, and maybe we're going to have two females, maybe we'll have two males. But for this one, I really was trying to replace D. I was looking at just the female winners. I was looking at Erica. I was looking at Marianne. I was looking at what would be after that. Then that would be Kenzie. And then I was looking at Rachel. So those were the four that I was looking at. And I think it actually works out pretty well there. So who, Will, I'll start with you on this one. Who do you go to as your first pick from those women?
See my shirt right here. See that logo.
Oh, look at that beautiful logo.
That is season 42.
Never saw for some reason.
The whole logo is a maze, and then there ends up being no maze challenge on the season. But I guess it's just a metaphor that like the game of Survivor is a maze. So, and who is the winner of that maze? That was Marianne. I think Marianne is easily next in line. She honestly could have been ahead of D. I don't know who you would rather have, D or Marianne. I think that's pretty close. I almost think Marianne offers more than D just from like bringing something different. There's more energy there that doesn't feel like just a strategic player. Not that I don't enjoy D. We've said a number of times, Phil, that we think D is like the number one ranked new era player. But Marianne would have been awesome to have on this season.
I think it really depends on what you're going for. Like, I think Marianne would have the potential to do better than D. And listen, I'm going to be talking out of my ass. We'll find out in several months here. But better to do than D just because of preconceived notions that, like, yes, Marianne was able to impress a lot in the moment with, you know, with the jury as well as after the fact. But still, I imagine, especially when you have a D, a Kyle, even a Rachel to a certain extent being bandied about as the best new era winners, Marianne still isn't in that conversation. You know, it's almost like Sandra adjacent in that she was one of four winners going into Heroes versus Villains. But if you ranked the previous four winners based on like their reputation, Sandra would probably be at the bottom.
Yeah.
She won 6-1, but like, you know, Johnny Fairplay ends up losing. Lil is the one that makes the decision. She lost her allies early on. I could see something similar with Marianne, but Marianne is such a fun personality and she can be lethal in these games. You don't even have to look at all the extracurricular stuff she's done with Blood on the Clock Tower and everything like that. She did it in the game where she got rid of her closest ally with the extra vote. Some still would consider it one of the best episodes of the new era, one of the best strategic moves of the new era. And she gave one of the best Final Tribal Council performances in recent memory where she was able to turn votes by having this idol reveal, by revealing that, yeah, while I am this, like, you know, energetic, goofy personality, like, I have some game to me. And it was proved handily. The only other person I would throw out there just for consideration, because we do have another winner to pick, and it may not be a man and a woman, but I do think there's also a case to be made for Rachel.
Yeah.
Because Rachel, similar to Dee, I think is this mentality of like, can she do it again? But Rachel's a bit of a different story because Rachel did not have the Survivor experience she expected, which is odd, right? Because it's like, oh my God, she won the game handily, you know, tied the record number of immunity wins, played an idol when she needed to. But that was not what Rachel wanted to do whatsoever. I don't think she ever planned on playing a game where she had to rely on immunity wins and a clutch idol fight. Andy points it out in the final tribal council, right? Like, what separates you from Mike Holloway and Ben Dreebergen? And I do think, again, Rachel has a really good sense of strategic and social skills about her that I would like to see her in a different setting where if the circumstances work out a different way, she can feel like she can flex some of those muscles that she trained for rather than, you know, basically not training for leg day and then almost having to rely on her legs the entirety of 47 second half.
I think that Rachel, if you were going to do the one for D, would be the better choice. I do, though. What's fun about this is I think D fits better on the season 50 than Marianne does. But I kind of agree with Will that I think Marianne is probably the better casting choice for most seasons. I think that D's personality and D's gameplay really fits with compiling old school with new era and all that. And I think that Marianne maybe is better for a all-stars typecast that is just focusing on new era. I think that that's where she'll really pop and be able to play the game a little bit longer. But I do agree. Rachel is a player that I would absolutely watch play again. I know Dom Abate went off about how she's like the best winner in the history of the show, which maybe somebody saw that and said, Dom, you're not allowed to be on the season now. But I think that Rachel is a really solid player who was saved by one advantage that does make people feel like we should put a little bit of an asterisk next to her win. And I don't think that's necessarily fair, but because of when that happens, her game is over at that point. She has no out. And then she's able to find her way through and ultimately win and play a really great game in the post-merge. But I do understand where people come from. So look, I think those are the two, but I would go Marianne. And Mike, based on your excitement, I think you're going Marianne.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm outvoted at this point, but I will throw in, you know, a nomination for Rachel. And who knows, you know, maybe if we're between her and one other winner that I would imagine we are going to be bandying about for the other first place spot. Just want to open up a bit of discourse, you know, for the first time.
Between her and Gabler, over the water, right?
Real quick, Bloom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now I'm going to go back under. Look, I live in Florida, man. You got to get your Gator stuff as much as you can. All right. So we got Marianne in here. Now we are going to eighth place. So this is the worst placing person on this season, at least in terms of like never came back and never placed better, which we see, you know, obviously we talked about Coach and Colby last time. They finished 12th place, you know. But still, out of the one time they played, first time they played, eighth place finisher Tiffany. Is this another obvious one? Or is there anybody that you guys can throw at me that makes it not Shan?
Feels obvious.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You bring up the importance of season 41, and like, I don't know, I don't want to necessarily overhype one particular character because, again, the vast majority of the time, these Survivor seasons are ensemble-like effects. Even if the editing does not indicate it as such, everyone is out there contributing to the ultimate outcome of the season in their own specific way. But like, if you are creating a Mount Rushmore of the new era in terms of like importance of characters, I kind of feel like Shan is like the George Washington, honestly, in that when Survivor came back in 2021, there was a lot of trepidation. You know, the game looked incredibly new. There were all these things that were thrown in basically in every episode that had a lot of people not only confused about the mechanics, but being like, okay, this is a little unmooring at this point. And I think everyone was able to anchor themselves, especially for the first half of that game, in Shan. You know, this person who came through, was running things on the entirety of her disaster pre-merge tribe, you know, something that's even unprecedented in the new era. It only got down to two people, but she was the one that essentially dictated every single vote that happened. She knew where the advantages are. She got her hand on those advantages. And I still think, you know, her getting her legs cut out from under her at the final eight was so pivotal to, again, what the meta was going to be of the rest of the new era, which is these big power players are not always guaranteed to make it to the end. Hell, they might not even be guaranteed to make it to the finale. You would argue that Shan was probably the main character of Survivor 41 up to that point. Yeah. It was an absolute shock that we had an entire episode that showcased her downfall and her going out in eighth place. Again, I know that, you know, some stuff has come out after the fact that showcases maybe there would be some reasons why Shan would not get asked back, but we are sort of discounting those efforts right now. And I really think I'd be so intrigued to see what she would bring on a second time out, especially considering like how her own life has kind of changed since she was on 41.
I mean, we put Colleen on. So if we can put Colleen on, then we can put Shan on for whatever, you know, because we're literally going out of the realm of reality and just going into what happened on the season. And I remember during season 41, she was one of the few things that was keeping us going when Alexa and I were podcasting it. I mean, we were having a really hard time with 41, obviously coming off the high of 40, and then you have COVID, and then 41 comes. And I agree with you, Mike. There were these things where people were like, what is happening? What are these mechanics? We were already complaining about 26 days. It felt a little barren. A lot of reminders of COVID, which I actually think makes season 41 age even more poorly. And so Shan comes out, and Shan was just like this light on that season. And yeah, like JD's great, Brad's great, but Shan just kind of overshadows everybody. And you kept being like, what is she going to be up to? And the fact that she kept losing was great. And Ricard goes further than her, but I think Shan is more of the main character of that season, despite the fact that she finishes in eighth place and Ricard goes all the way on to fifth. So I think Shan's the easy one here. And even as I was looking through the eighth placers, like, the only other, there's really not anybody else to do unless we want to get a three-time player in here and give it to Bruce or Franny. Franny, right? That would
Franny has this fun aspect of like these surprising challenge beasts and like what would she be like without the showmans? You know, a recent standout, but this would be, I think, more of a WTF pick from an airtime perspective. But Star is just such an incredible character that I do think if she had gotten a bigger edit, probably would have put herself more in the category of someone to bring back. And I also feel like High is a little underrated as well. I think that High, again, is part of this sort of murderer's row of people getting picked off. But like the fact was he was really working this chaotic Vati tribe in the pre-merge. And, you know, he gets rid of his number one in Lydia at Mergatory. And it's due to this series of unfortunate events where Omer turns Mike against him that leads to his massive downfall.
Yeah. Well, are you just going, Shan?
Yeah, I mean, I think you both mentioned the other picks. Star would be my second pick here, too. I think Star could be really fun. We did not get to see enough of her on season 48. And it's funny, I'm pretty low on season 48, but now both my, like, second place ups have been, like, Mary and Star.
I still think it's a really good cast.
It is a good cast, yeah.
Sometimes when things work out in a certain way, when you, you know, put all the variables in the equation.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have three 48ers on season 50, and that's, like, kind of was a bummer when I saw, but now I'm like, man, there was gold. Maybe there's gold.
We don't have a ninth placer, so I can put David on the season, because I'd be fighting tooth and nail to get David on this season. There's no way I would let this podcast end without him on the cast. So, yeah, I think 48.
Unfortunately, he made the jury, Phil.
I know. I'm really sad about that. I'm really sad. I kind of wish
we could do some honorable mentions for alternates maybe for this cast and put some of these new era people who don't fit in our particular criteria in.
I have said it so many times on this podcast, people are going to be annoyed, but David should be on the cast, not Jonathan. I just keep saying it, but that's really how I feel. All right, sixth place. So now we're replacing Q. Okay, so this just feels wrong in the first place, because it's like, okay, this, like, replacing Angelina felt weird, but replacing Q is just, what are we doing? But sixth placers. I have a standout here. Again, I feel like when we're doing this, it's pretty easy for the majority of it. Does anybody go against Andy?
Oh! That's not my standout at all.
Were you joking?
Who do you guys have?
Omer. Well,
I can't tell if you're joking.
I knew you guys were going to go Omer. I had to say Andy, though.
So you were joking. Okay, you were.
I knew that. I mean, Mike's over here. I know Mike and Omer are close. Will's got his 42 thing on. He's already talked. I got to go Andy, but honestly, I knew you guys were going to go Omer, but Andy's a really solid pick for
them. Oh, I completely agree. You know, it sucks that these two guys end up placing the same way, but I think that Andy would have been the silver medalist by far, and I would not have been mad to see him on the cast. I know there were certainly rumors at a certain point that he was going to be, but like looking at what he was able to do, you know, really overcome the biggest, you know, Matt Chat meltdown we maybe seen since Russell Swan in Philippines to become a person who, you know, flips on his tri-mates multiple times and helps, you know, become the architect of what some have voted as one of the greatest moments in Survivor history, was a really incredible arc. And the fact that he ends up getting taken out, much like Emily, you know, having this metamorphosis of absolute near flame out, near first boot in the very premiere, to getting taken out, idled out of the game with one vote because he was perceived as one of the bigger threats left. Like, no one would have expected that whatsoever. And so it also would have been fun to sort of have him on as like the super duper fan angle, right? To just freak out upon getting to play with all of these legends. But I don't know. I think Omer just has the appeal of, like, he was, again, such a major force in that season. Again, for how back and forth that post-merge was, he was dictating so, so much. And the other thing is that now, knowing Omer and especially seeing him play these games, holy shit, the man is an agent of chaos. Oh, yeah. Like, it's so wild that his television edit was so incredibly sanitized compared to the man that we actually know. Oftentimes, it is the exact opposite. So my expectation would be, especially if we put Marianne and Omer on the same season together. And that's the other thing as well. I think my third placer would have been, third of the six placers, I should say, would have been Cody. Because it's like, Cody and Jesse, would they, you know, work together? I would imagine so, because I really think it's water under the bridge. But I think you could also see that to a certain extent with Marianne and Omer, who, like, are very good friends to this day, but, like, are not afraid to gun for one another.
Will, go ahead about Omer.
Yeah, I think Omer, honestly, when I saw the cast and he wasn't on it either, and I was like, wait, Jesse's not here? Wait, Carolyn's not here? Wait, Omer's right here? Not here? I'm like, what world am I living in? Omer was almost as big of an omission as Jesse to me. Like, I'm such an Omer fan. He brings it, like, major strategist, but also so good in confessionals, such a good personality, like, great TV. Like, this is what you want from a returning Survivor player. Like, Jeff always says, play your first time like it's your second time. I felt like Omer went out there on 42 playing as if it was his second time. Like, just so good. Like, literally every aspect of what I want to see out of a Survivor player. And so, yeah. I love Andy. Like, Andy would be great. But, like, Omer to me is so far ahead of Andy in this sixth place conversation.
The thing is, even though Omer doesn't win, I still think Omer probably has the best mind out of any of the new era players for the game of Survivor. Like, I think he has a better mind for the game than Jesse. I really do. I think that he really understood the game and understood how to manipulate it. And Marianne just got him, right? And sometimes you just get got. That happens
so
in Survivor.
Does Marianne have a better mind for the game than Omer?
I mean, she at least had a better mind for who she was in the game. And I think Marianne really came in and kind of did the Fabio thing of, I know how people are going to perceive me. I need to lean into that, but not let it become so bad that they vote me out. And then I'll just keep working my magic, which is my social game. And eventually they're going to realize, oh, crap, we let her get to the end. I actually think sixth place, though, it's one of the strongest positions of the new era. I think that this is loaded when you start going through everybody. You have Shaheen in this spot. Who's also another good one. Obviously, we already talked about Andy, who, you know, I think you could easily put on here. Q, who we can't pick because down there, Drew is another.
Drew,
really good one. Like, I really, 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 really like Drew. And then when you get into season 43, everybody's already talked about Cody. This is a great placement. And then I have to make mention of him because I think he's just so great and kind of overshadowed. Wait, maybe I'm wrong on his placement. Am I? No, Danny McCray.
Danny McCray, yeah.
Yeah. I think Danny McCray.
That's Challenge Champion Danny McCray. Thank you very much.
Exactly. And I think Danny McCray is somebody who, if he ever played Survivor again, which I don't think he wants to, would be a massive threat to win. And actually, he would fit in really well with the type of cast that they compiled for 50. So this might be my favorite placement of the new era.
You've mentioned everybody except Jamie.
Yeah.
And listen, I mean, 44 with a couple of exceptions is not much like 43 is not really a big kook-filled cast, but like, Jamie, our delusional worm-eating queen, was definitely the exception. I think in the moment, a lot of people appreciated her. I do think, though, as you mentioned, in comparison to a lot of these people who, you know, it's also the fact that unlike people who finish in fifth place, most of the time they have an entire episode dedicated to their boot as well. Like, oh, man. Yeah. Sixth place is maybe sixth place is the new, like, what the third place was in those first few seasons.
Seriously. Just missing the finale is the new just missing the final two.
Yeah.
All right, next up we have Charlie. So, second place.
Yeah.
All right. So, go ahead, Will.
I just want to hop in because I've been trying to get this player back on forever, and we have to go Heidi here, right? Like, we have to go Heidi from
Fire-making record setter.
Yeah.
Look, I had Heidi on the podcast right after 44, loves the game of Survivor a lot. And yeah, I would have liked to have seen what her strategy was on that season instead of that season just being about three people and then forgetting that there's literally 15 other people on the season. She goes and breaks Gabler's fire-making record and gets to final three. And it's like, oh, yeah, Jam Jam already won. Like, we know this. It's over. Thanks. I don't know. Second place is actually a tough one.
I'm between two right now with an outside shot of a third. The third, I'll go like in reverse order here for climacticism, probably would be Cassidy. I think that Cassidy, again, we even saw this in the Challenge USA, has this big storyline of, you know, a lot of people felt I should have won my season. You know, I'm here to prove, it's almost like Michelle Fitzgerald styled in a way of like, I want to prove that I actually am deserving of the placement, you know, not the place that I was deserving of the win last time. It's almost like Aubrey maybe coming back, even though, again, I think that Cassidy, it was not necessarily as much of a huge mastermind with her hands around the game as Aubrey was. But the two I really am between are Mike Turner and Sam Phelan. I think that Mike, even more than Cassidy, has this major storyline of I was the favorite to win going into Final Tribal Council, and it all went pear-shaped. Because
Reggie Miller.
Yeah, exactly. Because I could not necessarily answer the questions, you know, own up to my game in a way that the audience wanted, the jury wanted to, in addition to Marianne just like pulling freaking literal rabbits out of her hat. But I think that Mike was a really solid player. And, you know, I think has that storyline to him. But if you're looking for more so someone who will probably, you know, last a long time on an average Survivor season, it's probably Sam. Mm-hmm. Just because of what he was able to do and the fact that it's almost the opposite of Mike, where Mike came in as, again, probably the consensus person that the majority wanted to vote for and then lost the game on day 26. Sam came in having just, you know, one fire making, but still definitely with an outside chance of winning, and arguably talked his way into at least being considered for the win, to the point where Rachel told me in our interview that she even thought for a second, like, oh man, is Sam actually going to be able to pull this out? And so I also think that Sam is somebody who, much like a lot of people in 47, was used to being on the top, was on the bottom for a considerable portion of the game as well. And so I think he's also someone like Rachel who wants to maybe have a different experience than he initially got in his first season. And you know he's going to provide great sound bites too. Yeah. Like the guy is an absolute machine with that. It's his job.
He's the glue guy.
He's the glue guy, exactly. And he'd be the glue for the season. Look, I actually went with Cassidy in my position here mainly because I was trying to even up the men and women. I did go with men in a lot of other positions, and I also think that Cassidy is one of the biggest question marks in this show. How good was Cassidy's game truly? Is that jury bitter, right? Like if you had a chance to watch Natalie White or Erica play again, you'd probably take that. I think Cassidy is the equivalent of that as a second place finisher. A lot of people feel like people were just pissed at her and gave it to Gabler almost out of spite. But I want to know, like, how good was Cassidy? And I think she's an entertaining character. I think she absolutely has her Gen Z stands, that's for sure. And I think that she would play a good game. Another name, though, that I want to throw out, if we are going to go with one of the men, I think is Austin.
Yeah.
Confessional leader of Survivor 45, one of the best seasons of the new era, almost unanimously. Like, Will and I might like 43 more, but most people would rank 45 much higher. And Austin is the narrator of that season. He barely loses to D, who I consider the best player of the new era. I wouldn't mind seeing Austin play the game again. And I think, you know, he has that chip on his shoulder, you know, whenever he's always, oh, boy, I'm the simp who went with D, whatever. It's like, I think he would come out and play a different game and be a little bit more cutthroat, but he's still nice enough and a personable enough guy. He's got what it takes to win. So I actually think I'd probably put him over Sam. I don't know if I would put him necessarily over, who was the other person you said?
Mike,
yeah. Mike, I think, fits better, and I think Joe Hunter took Mike's spot ultimately at the end of the day.
Huh. Yeah, to maybe break some ties or toss who I want in is, it would be Sam for me, for sure. Especially because 47, I think, is one of, I mean, I think it's my probably favorite season of the new era, and right now we have no one from 47, and we're also going to replace Genevieve. I know there's an outside shot at Rachel sneaking in there, but we weren't able to put Andy in there. And Sam, like you said, Mike, like he almost won the game. And actually hearing him come on, Phil, when you did an interview with him, And then he also did an RHAP interview. Hearing him speak about Survivor, it's like, whoa, I did not know he was so game savvy as he was. And I don't think his edit showed that. I think he would have a really good shot to not only stay a long time, but win the season. And he would be a very good winner. So I have Sam in this spot.
Yeah, I think I will nudge it in Sam's direction as well. I think this was tough. And again, maybe when we sort out gender things, I might revert back to Cassidy. But I think right now it's not a permanent spot for the glue guy, but I think it's sticky enough to have him in there for the time
being. I think I know where this fifth place is going then, because I went with a man for this spot, but I'm almost thinking that you all went with a woman for this spot, which is what's ultimately going to make it so that Sam can go in there. And I love Sam. I just think, you know, Cassidy, I think like that question of the Gabler loss, I just think is such a great storyline to watch a second time.
Wait, so, what's the question?
Just everybody wants to know it, like why she lost to Gabler, and I'd like to see her play again. Look, I think that I said the whole season that Gabler was the winner if it wasn't Jesse, but you know, I think that it's a great storyline coming in. I really do.
Yeah, I think the way Cassie gets in here is if we need another to open another spot gender wise. I think.
Yeah,
that's like so, where she gets in.
So in terms of this fifth placer, then where are you both going?
I mean, I still think we also have some. Remember, we have a couple wild cards that can also be sorted in by gender as well. So we're not entirely beholden because I do think my leader in the clubhouse there would probably be Ricard.
That's who I have.
Yeah, I think, a lot of people were also talking about, you know, again, the RHAP vote last year, Shan made it on, Ricard did not. But I think a lot of people were saying, we got to have the two of them back. You know, this is almost the opposite of the Omer Marigan situation, where like, I'm pretty sure these two are not in each other's lives at all, maybe in the years since, where they were, again, entirely thick as thieves until, you know, Ricard ends up turning on Shan. Things sort of fell apart after that. But it's a dynamic that was so incredibly complicated because they were the two sole survivors of their disaster tribe, but like also clearly bristled with one another too. Mm-hmm. And I think Ricard in his own right had this like really awesome story, you know, came in half deaf and like had to, you know, battle past that. And was again, one of these first examples of, okay, the person who goes out usually in fifth place or fourth place was the biggest threat to win, who just didn't win immunity at that time when they needed to. And Ricard was the first example of that in the new era.
I mean, I have Ricard. I had Ricard in here, and we did a second chance vote with Russell Muscle TV last year. And I was surprised that Ricard didn't, he didn't make our final list either. Like the fans voted and he didn't ultimately get in. And I think people just kind of forget about Ricard. I think though, like where I was kind of leaning more towards the women here, if we were going to go man at two, is that you have Maria, have Julie, and you have Carla. And I think those are three really, really strong fifth place finishers that also fit something that you don't see in the rest of this cast. I think all three of them bring something really unique to the game. Maria being like as strong as she is as the older woman, Julie being as good of a player as she is as the older woman. And then you have Carla, who was a really good strategist, who a lot of people thought was going to win that season for the longest time, and then kind of implodes at the end. I think those are three really solid options too.
Yes, and I would lean towards Julie there, actually, especially because one of my problems with the cast of season 50 is that we like left so many seasons out, and right now we wouldn't have anybody from season 45. Now that Dee's not there, that Emily's not there, that we're not able to put Drew on, that we're not able to put Austin on, and I think Julie coming back for a second time, I would like to see. But I also like Ricard. Also, if we are going with a man from the spot, Ricard is, you know, not only the he's the obvious choice here.
He's the obvious.
See, guy. I would disagree with you. The three names you put out, Phil, I love me some Julie Alley. She would be number three for me just because she was so under edited compared to the rest of her cast. Whereas like Carla and Maria played massive roles in their season. I would probably, if I had to pick a woman, I think I might go Maria above Carla.
I think I would go Maria too.
Yeah, just because we don't have Survivor 46 representation on this. And B, like what she ended up doing is maybe one of like the defining moments of this season that is full of defining moments, which is like she does not vote for her number one ally to win the game. Again, much like Venus, that is Survivor 46 in a nutshell, is that everyone gunned for their number one allies. And Maria is able to get the last lap here. And I think, you know, on top of that, she is someone who was taken out in fifth place because she was seen as such a massive threat. They started coming at her from, what, final seven? But she just keeps winning immunity. She is so incredibly shrewd. She made people play rock, paper, scissors to go on a reward and ends up going with Q, who had just eaten the day before. And I do think there is, you know, some interesting storyline with both Carla and Maria as to, like, okay, you are known for the decisions you made at the end game, as controversial as they were. How are you going to settle that should you find yourself in that place again?
And that's where I think I would go Maria over Julie. I think Julie would have been my third there too. And Will, I get what you're saying, where you're trying to fill all of the seasons. But season 45, I feel like I could probably get with some of these wild cards too, if we needed to.
Yeah.
And I do feel like what maybe the problem with 45 is, they just put the two best people from 45 on. So if I'm going to miss 45, it's going to be because Dee and Emily are on the actual real cast. Because I think for all of us, Emily would be on over Venus in most cases. Scenario. So I don't know. I think I'm in agreement with you, Mike, that I would go Ricard here.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way too, but I think this might be a spot
open.
Maybe we keep it open. Like, this is kind of one where we need to fill it out as like whatever's remaining. Because there seems to be a lot of good options.
Really like lightly pencil in Ricard, but like if we need to change things up, he's probably the first spot we're going to.
He's
right?
going. Yeah. So next up is third, and this one's so easy, but I'm just going to throw out Ben's name real quick because he did his podcast yesterday with Parvi, and it just dropped, and I love the guy, and I want to make sure everybody sees that. If they haven't seen it, go check out Ben's interview with Parvi. It's awesome. It's great. He's got his Substack going. He's giving out hollows like it's Pokemon 1999. It's awesome. So go check out everything that Ben is doing, but this is so obviously Carolyn. And what's a shame is
Carla.
I know. Well, somebody, I got distracted by the corner here. Somebody, I'm looking at Brian's comment that says Carla. So obviously, Carolyn, that you can't even have the discussion about players like Jake or anything. It's just like, how is Carolyn not on this season? What are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, one of the most universally popular Survivor contestants I've seen in some time. I've talked about it a lot, where she had like the Thanos like Infinity Stones of where, you know, Twitter was rooting for her, Reddit was rooting for her, Facebook was rooting for her, like, just because of her underdog story, her kooky characteristics, and the fact that she was such an underrated power player that season. It really was the perfect storm of a once-in-a-lifetime character. So, yeah, to not see her on season 50, it absolutely sucks. I'm so happy we got to see her at least on our screens at all in The Traitors recently. Though I do wonder, like, honestly, in season 50, there's a fair chance that Carolyn would have been an incredibly early boot. Because if we talk about people who may not be able to do the same thing again, I don't know. Like, she would come in with such a massive reputation to her that it would be like a Rob Cesternino in All-Stars level of like, we got to take her out right now.
But I actually think that she fits more into Tony and Game Changers, where it's like, she said yes, put her on my screen and let's watch that episode or two of pure chaos. I don't care if that's all I get.
Yeah, but regardless, she's going to be on right now. I think especially as well. Like, if she was on, especially following her Traitors appearance, it was like, okay, well, now I really remember what you're capable of.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Will, do you even need to say anything about Carolyn?
It's sad because, like, I remember watching season 45 and that finale and Jake breaking the challenge and, like, almost pulling off these moves and, like, maybe finally getting over the hump. He wins Fire. I was, like, crying during his speech. Like, such a big Jake fan that season, but I mean, who are we kidding? Like, it's got to be Carolyn. So,
yeah.
Huge honorable mention to Jake, though. I really do. Like, I really would have loved to see Jake come back on this season.
Yeah, Jake Owen as well. I think they're both sort of part of the same archetype, but I think Jake, you know, has that massive personality to match. Shout out to Xander as well. Yeah. I mean, you talk sort of like about the role that Austin played in the edit, Phil. I feel like Xander got so much focus because of the advantages of it all that, like, I mean, one of the huge pieces of discourse coming out of that 41 finale was specifically, how did Erica beat Xander? Not even Deshaun in the equation. And so, I don't know, maybe if they had done like an All-Stars at like 45 instead of 50, he would have been more in consideration. But I think, unfortunately, there were a lot of other zero vote finalists that followed in his footsteps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go back to the winner then. So now we're going to replace Kyle. So we've already kind of said that Rachel was that next woman. I've obviously been going with the Alligabler, but it would be Jam Jam in this situation, I think, no doubt. And now the question is it Jam Jam or is it Rachel?
As much as I stumped for Rachel, Damabate style, it's got to be Jam Jam. Like, I think that, look no further than when the Traitor season forecast was released and so many people were saying, like, oh, thank God we have Jam Jam here. Just because, I mean, you look at the conversations about, okay, can Dee make it happen again because she has such a big, you know, target on her back coming in. I don't know if that would be the case with Jam Jam, because Jam Jam was an incredibly dominant social winner, but his whole thing was just to schmooze you and figure out what your tells were and then be able to use that against you. And also, he is one of the most, like, personality-filled winners I think we've had on Survivor. Like, him and Marianne, you know, doing two out of the first four seasons was such an incredible boon to the idea that, like, oh, big characters can't win the show. So it's not even from a placement perspective, too. It's from a great TV perspective.
Yeah, I saw, I went to an FIU event during season 46, and Dee and Jam Jam essentially hosted it. Like all the people from CBS were there, but it was essentially Dee and Jam Jam sitting on the stage. Ben went up, talked a little bit. A lot of ex-survivors were there. Nora and Troy Zam, which is always amazing to see them. Jesse Camacho was there.
Oh. Okay,
so there's a real shout out. There's my wild card pick. But so Dee and Jam Jam were up there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is the alliance for season 50. Like, these two, they own a room. And Jam Jam especially, his personality pops no matter what scenario, what setting he is in. I think that's where somebody like Rachel as a winner, Rachel's going to have a hard time playing again because she doesn't have that Marianne or Jam Jam massive personality that just explodes no matter what setting she's in. Right. I still think Rachel's amazing, but Jam Jam is just like, if he says yes, you have to say sure. Come on.
Yeah, and to have both Jam Jam and Marianne replacing Kyle and Dee, like, we're making it, feels like we're kind of making the season more fun in a way. Like, we're making it more a celebration. And, like, look, they probably don't win, but the time that they're out there, you know they're going to bring it. So,
yeah,
I think this is another one. Honestly, the new era is just so much easier. We've had so many obvious picks. Like, it has to be Jam Jam.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I actually think we get to maybe one of the hardest picks, which is the second fourth placer to replace Camilla. This is a really tough spot because I think a lot of people would go Carson, 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 at least initially right after season 44, being a part of that trio that would put Carolyn, Jam Jam, and Carson on this season.
I just realized, yeah, that would have been a quarter of the new era tribe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're not going to go Heather, no matter how much people like fake stan Heather.
I know Russell Muscle TV. I think we have to shout him out. He's the biggest defender of Heather. And so at least we got to bring her up.
We got to at least bring her up. But like, this is where it gets tough because I do think some people got a little tired of like Carson and whatever it was with the puzzles and stuff. But if we're not looking at outside of the game, Carson feels like the popular choice here. But you also do have Teenie, who could absolutely be in consideration for this, loses to the wind in season 47. I mean, Mike, where does your head go with this spot?
Yeah, let me take a bit of an outside pick here. I think I will very loosely nudge Keturah.
Interesting.
I think Keturah is somebody who, you know, she would probably profess maybe had a bit more of an intentionality to your game than you may think, where I think a lot of her edit for a long time revolved around just her massive distaste in Bruce and then her kind of flipping on her original tribe. But I think she, you know, played a major part in that in game with just that absolute wackadoo 2-1 vote at the final five. And listen, you know, I don't want to entirely bring back people on the merits of what happened to them after their season, but I'd be remiss not to bring them up, and maybe we'll bring it up with our, our wild cards as well, the fact that Keturah has recently revealed that she is in a relationship with Sabaya. Mm-hmm. And so I think she is somebody who has had a very emotionally complicated relationship with Survivor, both out there on the island as well as after the fact. And certainly when it came to a lot of people at the time saying, you know, she's one of the worst players ever, why is she making all of these moves? I think she had something to prove, should she come back.
Will, where are you at?
I have maybe one that you aren't thinking of, either of you, but to me, this stood out as like, make the season chaotic, make it fun. I have Liz here in this spot.
I was thinking maybe Liz as well.
Like, Liz brings a different energy that I don't know if we've seen anyone bring, or like, there are very few people that have the energy of Liz. I mean, her whole strategy was to pretend that she owns all these businesses and is, you know, a millionaire like 10 times over, and then to get to the end and be like, gotcha. Like, that on its own, like, clearly she wanted to win. Clearly she was playing hard. I think out of this group, it's like, I think I've seen what I need to see from Teenie, what I need to see from Keturah, what I need to see from Carson. And like we already said, like, putting Carson, Carolyn, and Jan Jim on the season, it doesn't feel like we need to see that again. I know that the Heather defenders are clearly out there, but I have Liz here just because Liz is going to bring something different You know, I wasn't someone who was really, I don't really need to see Maria play again. And so 46 representation, we have Venus here, and that's it so far. So I kind of like Liz for this.
I think you're convincing me. Well, because you also think about, like, okay, she had a random edit, but she is the center point of one of the biggest moments of the season.
What number was it, Mike? All time Survivor history. You
number
did
nine,
it.
Number nine. Number nine.
Number nine was the Applebee's freakout.
It was the top moment of the new era from a
the new era. I thought you meant of all.
No, all time. Number nine all time.
Number nine all time. But yeah, top moment of the new era overall in terms of finishing.
I mean, it is, like, that good. It's phenomenal television. Like, you're watching that and going, what is going on?
And it's honestly odd to equate, but it's a little similar to, like, bringing back Alicia Calloway for All Stars, where I think the thing she was most known for was the fight with Kimmy and the chickens. Like, if you make one good TV moment that, you know, breaks the barrier and permeates social media, especially, like, that can earn you a spot on a returning season. So yeah, I think I'm Will, you've convinced me. I think I'm gonna change my vote to Liz here.
And Ryan Chan says, not Applebee's is better than the Sioux Snakes and Rat speech. I couldn't agree more. I love the Applebee's and Survivor Archive as teeny would be great, like, 5 to 10 years down the line. I do
completely
also
agree with that. I think it's too soon for
I mean, there is a storyline about, you know, obviously all of the you know, recent gender journey that he has been on that would be incredibly interesting, but I don't know how much I can pass up another bite of the Liz Wilcox apple, even though she cannot eat apples.
Yeah. I mean, she is so good. And I think, you know, I forget how Liz just had, like, one or two moments, but that's the stuff that we clamor for as Survivor fans, right? Like, we've been talking about Natalie Bolton playing Survivor again for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And she really only had the floss with the teeth and she's a part of the necklace thing. Like, she's not even the most important part of the necklace thing. So I feel like Liz in this spot, if I have to give up Camilla and I have to give up Jonathan, and I'm looking at who I think could actually play a different game, because Carson, you were just talking about with Carolyn, could very easily be an early boot. Carson, I feel like, would be targeted very early on with how good he was at puzzles and things like that. And so for me, Liz, like, when you look at the cast we currently have, you have Venus, you have Liz, you have Ricard, Carolyn, Shan, Marianne. This is the type of insanity that I was looking for from the new era. And they went a more, like, I don't want to say, like, subdued or safe route, because you do still have Q, you do still have Tiffany, but it feels like they went with the safer choices, at least with the people that they chose, knowing that you're going to get pretty straightforward and pretty similar to what they played the first time.
Yeah, I think maybe it was just this idea of, like, you know, judging their journeys more from an emotional and gameplay perspective over a personality perspective, which, to your point, maybe it feels more irrespective of particularly, like, the 45 through 48 batch of Survivor, where it was these huge personality filled casts, that it's like, okay, more so casting sort of like the way they did with the old era as well, mm-hmm. rather than, okay, we need a reminder as to how personality filled these recent casts are. So we're just going to, you know, back up a dump truck of characters onto our tribes.
Yeah.
And that's what we want for 50. I think, like, that's, we want to celebrate the show. And we do have, especially, like, why we're picking some of these players so far is, like, they're good at both huge personalities, but also huge, huge gamers.
Yeah. All right. So we did manage to, that's 5 men and 5 women. And now we have the 2 wild cards left. So Will, I'm going to start it off with you. We said it's got to be pre-jury people. I know, like, you've already started, like, wearing the shirt. I'm sure you're going to, like, rip your shirt off and you have a tattoo of Jelinski on you. But, like, where are you at? Obviously you're going to say Jelinski. Are there other names you want to throw in the mix here?
Sure. I think I'll throw 4 names into the mix.
Okay.
Sydney from season 41. I think she kind of got a raw deal there. And she wasn't on the jury, right? She was the first merge group, so she's allowed.
Pre-jury. You're allowed to use her, yeah.
Pre-jury. Yeah, I think, and it's, I don't know. She always, I found her fun. Sabaya from season 45. Like, she's great. I think I'd love to. There we go. I mean, there's a reason why other shows are bringing her onto TV, like, for someone who's pre-jury. Jelinski, obviously. And then I have Thomas from season 48. Thomas went too soon.
Yeah,
those are the four I'd put in the hat. I mean, there's others to choose from. Obviously, I'm curious who you all have.
Yeah, I mean, I think JD is another name to throw in there for sure. From season, and he always says you better be throwing in Brad Reese's name. From season 41, I do love the Sabaya pick. Obviously, 42, I think, is probably the weakest of the pre-mergers. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I mean, Mike, where are you sitting with some of these before I just start going through? Are there any names that are popping to you that Will didn't say?
Is Phil frozen for you, Mike?
No, I can see
that's on Phil's end.
I can see Phil. I know he's gone.
Will, it's you, dude. You're freezing like crazy.
Oh, it's crazy. You went out for me, but Mike stayed in. So, and Mike was perfect and you weren't. So I was like, how is that even possible?
It's the only time anyone's ever called me perfect. Thank you, Will. all right. So I also had Sabaya in there. I did have Thomas in there. I mentioned Dwight just because, I mean, granted, I got to know Dwight, of course, more through all this stuff outside of the game and the Blood on the Clock Tower stuff, but he has such a mind for these types of social strategy games. And there is also the storyline of the fact that, like, he did go out after getting his idol, essentially, like, or Janine's idol taken from him, you know, that he ended up kicking off this entire cascade of a series of events. But I feel like the number one with a bullet pick, and it might be recency bias, has to be Say. I think that people were stunned when Say, almost like Shan style, when Say was taken out in 12th place, just because she dominated so much of the narrative, broke confessional records in her time on the show, and was such a presence on season 48 that I got to imagine out of like all of the pre-jury people that may have been in contention for coming back for 50, she might have been like the only person truly there.
I could see that for sure. When I look at Say on this season, like, you know, if we're going to go one man and one woman for this spot, for these two wildcard spots, part of me is like, would I rather see Say or would I rather see Sabaya? Those are the two women that really stand out to me the most. I feel like Sabaya has the more upside to actually win Survivor. But if you're looking at who's the bigger character and who was bigger on their season, just overall, I think that's Say without doubt. Well, what do you think?
I would say here, though, that like for these pre-jury spots, I want to award them to somebody who like didn't get the screen time, who wasn't shown. I almost feel like we got a whole entire season worth of Say at once, whereas like there's so many players that like they just weren't around long enough to like be as big of a character, whereas Say just dominated screen time. So I don't know if I need to see Say so soon here.
It's a lot. It's a lot there. I mean, can I throw out another woman name that I think probably the most important character on her season, with the exception of the fourth placer and the winner, and that's Ellie. That's a name that people, I think, have just totally forgotten. But like Ellie versus Gabler, that is how Gabler wins Survivor 43. Yeah. And I think Ellie really brought it. And had she been on any other starting tribe, she's somebody with a lot of winner potential. I think, Mike, what it comes down to is, are we looking for somebody who you think could actually like win Survivor 50, or are you just looking for the best TV? Because maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't think Say can ever win Survivor.
I don't think so either. But I mean, we don't think that Chaos Cass could have won Survivor and they brought her back for second chances. You know, right. Abby Maria, same thing. We just talked about the fact that we felt like there was a lack of big television presences in some of their new era casting. And so Say is the one that I'm really like, if I could pick two irrespective of gender, it would probably be Say and Sabaya. But I'm really, to Will's point, sort of like miring in this pool right now of so many people we could pick between.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to mention just in terms of like winner possibility, we did just put Liz on the cast here. So Liz, I don't know if that's been a criteria.
Listen,
that we're
according to her, she had all y'all. She was going to crush everyone in the jury vote.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be there for it. I actually have to run in. My internet is giving fits right now. So, like, better for me to just name my – here are my top two, and then I'll let you figure it out.
Oh, I like this.
I'm going to go Jelinski, obviously, and Sabaya. So those are my two if we're doing one man, one female.
All right.
It's been a pleasure. Sorry for the internet issues. I got a dip, but curious how it shakes out. Thanks, everybody, Will, for listening. See ya.
Bye, Will. All right, now I get to change the background here too, Mike. So you're going to get the, look at that. Look how quick we are. Look at us. All right.
Big patron link now.
I know, exactly. Now people know. Patreon.com/specialist. We just finished Heroes Villains. Now we're doing Nicaragua. Don't you want to listen to us talk about Nicaragua? It actually has been so fun to discuss because it's easier to talk about things you hate than things you like. That's what I've always found in my life. Okay, so he's saying Zelensky and Sabaya. Those were the two names that I had written down originally.
Okay.
But I almost feel like 48 might own this for me with Thomas and with Say. Like those two. And I don't know if there's anybody else. Like Sydney Will brought up, and Sydney is still the only person in Survivor history, I believe, to never lose immunity and be voted out of Survivor. I still think she's the only person who actually has
that. Because of the whole, conceit with reversing time and everything.
Yeah, and she literally never, I'm getting texts from Will right now, which is so funny. But
I mean, I guess she technically lost. Remember they did the individual immunity challenge after they reversed time, and she did technically lose that one.
Oh, did she? Okay. Okay. So I totally forgot about that because I've watched 41 once, and it's going to be a struggle to watch it twice. But I just feel like, I get where that kind of comes from. Another name that I just throw out there because, I know we're all friends at this point, but like, could Brandon Donlan be really good at Survivor if he played it a second time? Like, do you think that his personality is massive? Could he suddenly be good? I'm just trying to throw out some names because I do feel like there's three or four really obvious ones, but yeah. I don't want people to forget about some of these other names.
Yeah, I agree. And that's, again, maybe one of the reasons why we brought this up in the first place is the fact that there were so many great people from the various casts who ended up getting to, you'd even throw like a Claire from Survivor 44 out there, where like a lot of people were really high on Claire in the preseason, and it seemed like it was fine until got to this point where after she set records for sitting out, her tribe lost once and they got rid of her. Like, we are lucky in that we have so many choices, but it doesn't make it that much easier. So I would say, if I'm trying to narrow the focus in a little bit, it seems like the names that we're between are some combination of Say, Thomas, Zelensky, and Sabaya. It sounds like, with no offense to the other people who got voted out before the jury, those are the ones that were really circulating around.
Those do seem to be the ones. And another name that I would just throw out there just so it's in people's head, what about Matthew from 44?
I was honestly thinking Matthew too, because Matthew might be this outside chance, because I think I would honestly, and I love Thomas to death, but I would maybe want to see Matthew over Thomas, because you talk about somebody who took up so much airtime during their brief time in the game. I mean, Matthew, granted, a lot of it was due to his own self-inflicted injury, but like, found an idol, strategically, maybe one of the first strategic uses of the shot in the dark to like disguise his own, loyalty by just not having a vote at all. Making the fake idol and leading Jamie to find it. Like, this guy was playing until he left the game. And so, I don't know. I feel like he's got to be kind of a dark horse of someone that I would want to see come back.
I know. And I think the reason why this is such a fun discussion, Mike, and why I'm glad that you brought this up when we were trying to figure out what should we do for this, what I really like about it is, who's your Mount Rushmore of Survivor? Just name like the Mount Rushmore of most people's Survivor.
Right. It's your Parvati, Boston Rob, Sandra, Tony, Suri, some sort of four out, and Richard Hatch, four out of those six.
And what did Boston Rob not do his first season? He didn't make the jury phase of the game. And I think that's why it's so fascinating to keep these people in mind when you think about it, because sometimes it just doesn't work out for you and you can still be a really, really great Survivor player whose first time it just didn't happen to break right. Kelly Wentworth's another example. Yep. So it's like, who do you think could be those people in the new era? And I think there's a lot of good answers, but then I also think there's a lot of good characters who are pre-merge. Maybe I'd just rather watch fizzle out again.
Yeah. So that's the thing is like, I think I would probably have to, and this is when we start looking at balancing the cast out a little bit, I would probably tragically have to take Zelensky off. I think if you bring back a first boot, it would be him, bar none, maybe John Lovett as, the second person there. But we already have Venus. We already have Liz. People were complaining already about three people from 46 on the, the new era part of the 50 cast. I don't want to necessarily do that again. So I want to have at least one person from 48 on there, because we don't have anyone from 48 on, right? So it's got to be one of Thomas and Say, and I think it's got to be one of Matthew or Sabaya. That's probably what I'm sort of wavering between.
Can I tell you what Will texted me?
Yes.
Okay, because this might impact my thing here. This will tell you all whether I enjoy podcasting with Will or not. Jalinski better make it or I quit the podcast. Jalinski is so obvious.
Ooh.
I finally have my out to get Will off of the special.
Yeah, he shouldn't have offered that. You yeah. should have take him up on his offer.
I finally have the ability to fire Will this easily. My thing is like Matthew. Okay, I think here's where I'm gonna kind of go with this, Mike. And I don't want to drag this conversation out days and days. But here's how I'm gonna go with this. Matthew is a perfect choice for either second chance season or new era all-stars or something like
yeah.
I want to watch Matthew play again. I think he got gypped on this season. I think he got robbed totally. I don't think it worked out. And so I don't like that. We don't get a final on his story. They call him a quit when he really broke his collarbone. Like, I think that just sucks, right, for him. So I want to see Matthew play again. But if you're talking massive, massive season 50, this is a celebration of the seasons. This is personalities. I'd have to go Jalinski or I'd have to go Thomas. And for the women, I actually do think Say would probably beat out Sabaya here, mainly just because Say's personality and presence on her season was just so big. And Sabaya is a player that they do a second chance ballot. She's on there. I'm picking Sabaya every time because I think Sabaya has unbelievable winner potential, but does she have screen presence potential?
It's a good point in that, like, you know, obviously due to their lack of airtime usually or lack of time on the season, it's probably going to be more of a second chance casting than an all-stars casting. But then you have to think about, well, we did just cast the other 10 people as more so, you know, you could have thrown a Julie Alley on here if you wanted to do more so like a, hey, here's another chance at it. So do we have to keep going with this like all-stars mindset? And if that's the case, I do think Say should be on here to the point where a lot of people said from a certain perspective, like when Say get voted out, you know, then the season kind of just diverts course into something completely different and a little more untenable. So I definitely follow the logic there. I guess the question is it going to be a Thomas? Is it going to be a Matthew? I mean, with Say here, with Say locked in, what do the genders look like with 11 people?
We have 6 women, 5 men. So we pretty much are between Will's pick is Jalinski. We have Thomas and we have Matthew. Those are the 3 that are in here. And Will, we know, is the tiebreaker of Jalinski if we were to ever get down to like, we can't figure it out.
Oh, I mean, now I am starting to be more on board with, if you're talking about like who had a monumental impact, I cannot think of a first spoon in recent memory who did more than Jalinski.
Mm-hmm.
Several became arguably one of the biggest memes in season while they were out there in Fiji because of what he did. I mean, I don't want to necessarily put 3 people from Survivor 46 out there on a trial. Okay, do you have the season breakdowns as well?
Yeah, so here's what's interesting. So we have Jesse from 43.
Yep.
We have Venus from 46. We have Marianne from 42, Shan from 41, Omer from 42, Sam from 47, Ricard from 41, Carolyn from 44, Jam Jam from 44. So if we go Matthew, we also have 3 44s.
Yeah.
Liz from 46, and then Say from 48. So we have Venus and we have Liz as the 46ers right now.
Okay, so then if that's the case, I would be between Jalinski and Thomas.
Yeah.
Maybe. I agree that maybe Matthew doesn't necessarily need to fit in here. And look, if there was a cast where you put 3 of them on there, I've gone on record to say that 46 is pound for pound, maybe one of the greatest casts in Survivor history.
Yeah.
And so I do kind of wonder now, Will in absentia, you know, making his very valid points that if you are looking for somebody who casts a large shadow over the game, and I think also maybe forever, you know, cemented himself as a legend in his own way for just how incredibly he flamed out over the course of 3 days. Maybe it is Jalinski.
And I just want to throw this up. Here's Will. I know Will is like literally running to something, so that's why he's still able to message and he's still listening. I will make this deal. We can put Jalinski on if Will will finally spell his name right. Because so far, every text I got, it's spelled wrong. Now he's spelling it wrong.
Has he spelled it a bunch of different ways? Like, is he attempting to do so?
He has not put the E there yet. There was one that's Jalinsley and then Jalinska. Yeah, and then Jalinski this way. So he's just missing that there's an E in there. But I think, you know, when I was rewatching 46 for our defining episode series, like I was talking about earlier, you watch the one episode and Jeff is talking about Jalinski 8 or 9 episodes into the season. Episode several is the name of 7th episode. And I think if you're looking at Impact Thomas, he'd come back and play Survivor again. Sabaya could come back and play Survivor again. Matthew come back and play Survivor again. And I would be like, all three of those players have Kelly Wentworth upside. No yep, doubt about 100%. It. Absolutely could win the season, could be the star of the season. But I think Jalinski, if we're doing wild cards and it's like, who would be the most fun to watch? Jalinski and Say as your two pre-mergers or pre-jury. I don't think anybody would say, why'd they put those two people on? I think everybody would be like, oh, hell yeah. Let's see if these two learned anything or if they're just going to flame out again.
Yeah, it's a very good point. Again, we are sort of maybe overcompensating for what we feel casting for 50 did by just bringing on all of these wild, chaotic characters. I mean, if these were like two tribes of 12, good luck to all the you know, more level-headed people on the New Era tribe, because they are basically going to be going to tribal council every single week with these personalities.
Yeah, Omer and Sam are toast. Jesse would be in trouble. So this is what we have. Jesse, Venus, Marianne, Shan, Omer, Sam, Ricard, Carolyn, Jam Jam, Liz, Jalinski, and Say. That's a personality tribe if I've ever heard one.
Holy moly. That would have been incredible. All right, well, Phil, because we were so beholden into placements, again, we are we just have a massive riches when it comes to New Era casting. Who are some people that did not fall within our specific boundaries that you would have wanted to see come back for a second chance or put on the cast of 50?
So in terms of that didn't, Hunter Schmidt says one right here, Kelly Nalbandian, robbed. Mm-hmm. I think Kelly is an obvious choice as somebody who I'd like to see play again for sure. I think, like, is it somebody that just didn't fit into, like, they were, like, 9th, 10th, 11th?
Right, so, like, Caleb, for example, I think would be a pretty big example.
Yeah, Caleb's an example. I think Hunter is somebody that I would absolutely watch play Survivor again. I don't want to
miss I think him or Tevin would be, like, Tevin, I think, is just an outstanding personality that I think would be fun to... I mean, he got the opening confessional in Survivor 46 narrating what Survivor was, so I think that... That would be another great person to bring on. I mean, we could definitely throw out David, as you mentioned earlier. Let's see. Who else?
David would be my number one in terms of people who I think, because I think David not totally grasping the game of Survivor makes him amazing, because he's somebody who can learn. David's somebody who can win Survivor, but he's not somebody who comes out like Omer where it's like, I have a plan on how I'm going to win Survivor. Like David's one of those guys who doesn't really grasp the game in its entirety, but he's still really fun. He's that physical imposing presence. He has one of those like 20 to 30 feels to him where we did get some really good personalities in that archetype. Another one though that I would throw out is James Jones, going the complete opposite of David. I think James Jones is one of the best Survivor minds out there. He loves the game and really, really gets it.
What about Saul? Saul did not necessarily get the biggest edit, but I feel like the internet loved him so, so much that I think he would be very fun to bring back. I think that there it's a good crop of people that just kind of fell into this kind of nebulous, like 12th or 11th to 9th slot that just could not get considered despite how big they were and standout characters that they possessed over the course of their season.
Because I think even somebody like Gabe is, you know, maybe not the person that comes to mind first for a lot of people, but I think that Gabe is interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, Hunter, you forget, Brian Oriana said Hunter here, and I know I said him already, but like Hunter was one of the fan favorites early on in that season. People were loving Hunter and how good he was at challenges, and his backstory was fun. I mean, Mike, you've covered this so thoroughly, like even more thoroughly than we do over here, because you're actually going on location. You're doing so many different things. Do you think that they waited too long for an all-star season, like with the New Era? Or do you think that we're going to get more from these people, or is this kind of some of these people are just going to fall to the wayside because they're going to go into 4 or 5 new seasons after this?
I think it really depends on how production is feeling after 50 wrapped up. you know, one of the reasons why we got Game Changers as quickly as we did after Second Chance was because of how well it was received. And we had a handful of people, even in consideration for Second Chance, get brought onto Game Changers because of that positive reception. If the fans were happy for it, and especially if production was thrilled with what the returnees brought, I think then they will want to do another returnee season. I don't think they would wait 10 seasons again, especially considering that, like, I think one of the large reasons why they brought on a lot of people that they did, for better or for worse, was because of the round number and the meaning of season 50.
Yeah.
I think there were certainly people that they wanted to bring back. It just didn't necessarily fit with, like, but it's our 50th season. So I think that I could see them do something for, like, I don't know, 54 a 56. And so from that perspective, I do feel like there are some people that are not necessarily out of contention just yet. My hope would be that they see sort of the reception and excitement to season 50 and be like, okay, it's clear that we need to do more of these. But for all we know, if Jeff comes out of 50 and for whatever reason's like, all right, and then we're going to do a new era and build an entire new crop of characters for the longest time, that could also be his prerogative if he chooses to, sort of like what happened after Winners at War, like start fresh and move forward.
I mean, I just look at the numbers that we're doing on the podcast this off season, right? And we're putting out obviously a lot more. But last June, I think we got 5,000 views total on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And now we're putting out videos about Survivor 50 that are getting 7.8, 10,000, whatever. Like, and that's not because we're suddenly putting out some great product. Like, we're putting out the same type of product. We're just putting out more because people want to hear about 50 so much.
Yeah.
I mean, Will and I did a winner wish list last week of like who we would like ranking who we would want to see win. And that's like not searchable at all. And it still has more views than most of our content for 41 and 42 and 43 and 44 and 45. Like, I think that the excitement that is in this community right now, if production is looking at this and saying, what's the best way forward for Survivor, you almost should go the route. Maybe people get mad at me for this, but you almost should go the route of exhausting us with returning player seasons.
Like, don't bring us back to the 20s, Phil.
I'm just saying, not to the level of bad that you did with Ozzy and Coach literally don't make sense, and Rob and Russell were never going to get on the same tribe.
And I would also argue, with no offense to some real standout people that were cast in the 20s, the casting level of the 40s very much surpasses the 20s. We are not going in. Yeah, as much as people want to harken back to the Mactor days, we are not necessarily trying to pursue the strategy of, like, let's cast a bunch of hot young people in bathing suits, gameplay be damn. Like, they really are trying to pursue cutting a wide swath here. To answer your first question, I do think, and maybe they realized this as well as they were casting it, that I do wish we had gotten like a 48 as an all-star season. Or I know a lot of people were thinking about, like, okay, well, maybe 49 should have been new era all-stars, and then maybe bring on a couple people onto 50. I mean, that would have been tough from everyone's perspective. Oh, like, yeah. That would have just, filming two returning seasons back to back would have just wiped out everybody in the process. But I do think, considering, again, how standout these new era casts were, and how, as you mentioned before, you've mentioned the name many times, Kelly Wentworth goes from, like, a random pre-merge boot, but because she got given a second chance at a very specific type of returnee season soon after her own, ends up getting cemented into this, like, oft-hailed legend of the game. Who's to say there's not someone else like that? Boston Rob is another great example. Who's to say that there isn't another one there in a Sabaya, in a Matthew, in a Thomas, that just due to the way circumstances worked out from a returning perspective, it's not happening. I mean, we could also say, though, that maybe one of the other reasons why Survivor is pulling back a bit on returning seasons is the fact that there are also now considerably many more avenues to return to television.
Yeah.
You know, as much as Jeff might feel a certain way about shows like The Traitors, you have that. You have The Challenge. You have all these other types of feeder shows that these players can appear on now. That there might be a perspective where the show's like, well, we don't need to, like, keep bringing these people back because, hey, worst comes to worst, if they want to keep appearing on TV, they'll go be on this other random show instead of waiting out for us.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think, you know, Dee obviously just went on The Challenge and now she's going to be coming and being on Survivor 50. So people are like, well, what's up with, like, the double standard there that Carolyn couldn't come on and be on this after being on The Traitors? But I think that there's, like, there's a lot of avenues, but I think Survivor fans are so specific to Survivor. I could care less that Dee is going to be on The Challenge. And honestly, like, as the probably the biggest Michelle fan there ever was during Ko-Rong, I never watched Michelle's seasons of The Challenge. Like, I don't care. I like, that's not the show that I like. So I do think that, I think there's a little bit of a, I'm not going to say Jeff's wrong because I don't have the stats and I don't have the numbers. But I think when Jeff comes and says, hey, it's not as special if you go on another show and then you come back to Survivor, I think there's a lot of the fan base that doesn't care that these people are going on other shows because they don't watch those other shows. And it would be just as special to see these people come back and play Survivor. It might be annoying and it might be frustrating, but like, I don't like when Shan and Dom and all and Tyson, they all go on The Challenge. I don't know what any of them did. I don't really care. I don't really care that Danny won The Challenge, you know, like it doesn't matter to me because that's not what I like watching. But if Danny were to come back on Survivor, I'd be super excited to watch Danny play Survivor again. So yeah, I don't know. I hope that we get it a little bit more often. Like you said, don't go back to the 20s. We don't need the nonsense of let's get Francesca and Philip to argue with each other one more episode. Like I don't need that, but I do hope that we see some more returning player stuff because I also think that 50 is about to bring in a whole new era of legendary type players. Like people are going to be super excited about some of these people coming out of this season in the same way they were about Kelly Wentworth coming out of Second Chance.
Yeah, that's the hope. So yeah. How are you feeling about all this, Phil? Like you're gotten yourself so hyped, I think understandably so, on the 50 cast, even through experiments like this. Are you like ready to press pause on this and do an entire season of 49 coming to your screens on September 24th? Are you like, I've gotten all my talking about the season 50 cast out of the way for the year and I'll revisit it, you know, once the calendar hits 2026?
Here's how I look at it. We're doing a Brant Steele next Wednesday. A bunch of, I don't know how many of us from the specialists are going to be on it, but we're trying to get everybody to do it. If we can somehow manage that across the time zones and stuff. I'm really excited for that. After that episode, I don't know what we're doing for the month of August when it comes to these one-off live episodes. We're still doing our defining episode series. We're still doing our everything you need to know about series. And those are fun because, you know, you are taking the snippet of one episode about a player and just watch that episode with like their lens on. But I'm like struggling to figure out what those other live topics like this are going to be because I feel like I've talked about so much now. Like I did a player ranking with Survivor Analytics in terms of gameplay. Then I did who I want to win with Will. And then me and Alexa did a Survivor cast connections. And now we've done this twice where we did the old school and the new era. I don't know if I'm ready to press pause. Mm-hmm. I almost feel like, okay, you know what this is? This is what it is. This is going to be the best analogy I've ever come up with. It's not, but it's going to be close. This is, you just had Thanksgiving break. And now you have to go back to school or to work before you have Christmas break, right? Mm. That's what this feels like to me. Like, I feel like we're in the middle of like celebrating 50 and it's family and we're together and this is awesome and everybody's united. And now we still have to get through those next couple weeks before we get to the big celebration, which is the Christmas holiday, New Year, you know, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate at that time. It's like, that's what it feels like. And Survivor 49 is those couple of weeks. And that doesn't mean those weeks are bad. Those are the easiest weeks at work. Those are the easiest weeks at school, unless you were doing finals. That always sucked. But like, that was always a good time because you're just in the holiday mode and you're just kind of going through the motions. So maybe 49 is going to be really good. But I mean, how are you feeling? Are you going to be able to turn your brain off and just go into 49 full on mode like you've done with every other season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, it's a benefit of my loving ADHD that I am so hyper-focused on so much stuff that like, you know, I had a truly incredible time out there on set for 50, but I'm also fine sort of like keeping those interviews under lock and key, both physically and mentally, until we get around to 2026 and we can sort of like reignite our excitement. Because right now there is so much great stuff that is going on. You know, we have another whole season coming up. I get to rediscover those interviews, which I'm really excited about. So I mean, then I compartmentalize back in April when I'm like, all right, that was great. Now I've got to focus on 50. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got a whole Big Brother season that I'm watching. There's a bunch of other stuff happening in the reality TV sphere. Survivor AU versus the world is obviously happening too. So like, that's the other thing as well, is that no matter how you feel about Survivor 50, either at the outset with the cast or like maybe due to the results, we will have hopefully a great batch of seasons to be talking about for the foreseeable future. Maybe that's the next thing you do, is the whole AU versus the world, Phil, because you can do some defining episodes about the three, you know, U.S. players, yeah. if there's any other international people that you knew anything about. So that might be an easy thing to focus on. I know we don't have a date yet for AU versus the world. I imagine it's got to be sometime next month.
It has to be before Survivor 49 starts. Like, now that we have 49.
I don't know. I mean, they have always aired the AU seasons at the same time as the U.S. seasons.
But not with like the biggest personalities in the history of U.S. Survivor. I know they had Sandra and they had Russell at one time, but I mean, look, I think that's a great idea. We did the AU versus the world cast breakdown with Miles.
Yeah.
And that was fun. And like, Miles was able to give me some insight into people that I don't necessarily know everything about. I will say this though. And I had reached out to you when I first started doing AU versus the world, and you were like, it's a great gift, but it's a chore at sometimes, whatever your wording was, it was like perfectly surmised. And I will say that there's some things where I was like, okay, this isn't that good. But Heroes versus Villains of AU is absolutely ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
So much fun. And that's what I'm watching now. So having that while I'm also doing 50 and for our Patreon, we just watched Heroes versus Villains. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this is great Survivor.
Yeah, you are really getting to experience like the highest potential of what returning seasons can be, right? Even though I think Heroes versus Villains is more of like the Micronesia model of like, yeah, it kind of sucks that basically half the cast can't win, but like that other half of the cast, oh my God, how incredible.
Yeah, that is what makes it so good there. I mean, yeah, I've been having fun with it. And like you, I don't do Big Brother. Somebody had asked, when are you doing the Big Brother cast assessment? We're not going to do Big Brother again. I know McKenna and Blake tried it out last year, but we didn't really get the numbers on it. And I know it starts to feel like work. And I always say, if it feels like work, don't do it. But I mean, I'm excited for 49 when they actually do release the cast and when we start to get the information. I mean, I get excited for any season. And you never know. I mean, look, Ko Rong, and I know I'm in the minority on this, but I think Ko Rong is far superior to Second Chance. And that could be, maybe 49 is better than 50, and it's not the appetizer.
Millennials versus Gen X versus Game Changers is another key example of this. Low expectations are the key to happiness. And I also feel like, I don't know, there probably was some sort of meta narrative, I would imagine. I don't know this firsthand, but with 49 of like, all right, we know that we're the appetizer before 50. Let's make sure that we're not another Island of the Idols, both literally from that perspective, but also like one of the more written off seasons of, that was fine. It was something that helped get us through the fall, but look at this thing in the spring. So I have confidence in 49, whatever it is going to bring, and it'll keep, you know, our Survivor appetites wet for perhaps the main course for a lot of people coming this spring.
So I want to ask you this last thing, and I don't know if this is like the, you know, what answer you'd give or if you don't want to give the answer, but in terms of rooting interest for 50, do you have somebody or a couple people that you're like, man, I really want them to pull it out? Because this was a fascinating exercise Will and I did of ranking those, because it was fun to see where we differ on who we think would be satisfying in our own minds as a winner.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just throw out a handful of names, and this is not to impugn anybody who I do not mention. How can I not be buoyed by the chance to see some of these people that I've not seen for a long time? You know, like Christian, obviously a friend of mine, would probably be number one in the clubhouse just for those reasons. But like Jenna Lewis would just be an amazing story to see her back again. Angelina, you know, really anyone from like that triumvirate of David versus Goliath, just because they are all such interesting personalities in their own right. And I'm really intrigued to see how they're going to like dance around one another. Chrissy Hofbeck, I mean, Chrissy, you know, for a brief portion of time was regarded as like one of the most robbed runners up in Survivor history. So I think a lot of people have been jockeying for people like her to get a second chance for it to finally come through. And then there's sort of like me wanting to see Q and Emily last as long as possible, just from a personality perspective, to see like just all the chaos that they're going to cause. But there's also things of like, I want to see what Coach looks like now that he obviously learned a lot from his last time playing and has had so many life changes. Colby, something very similar too. And so there really is sort of like an appeal for kind of everybody in what I'm looking at in the cast. But those would probably be some off the top of my head that I am most interested in seeing on my screens for as long as possible.
Yeah, it was an interesting exercise because like we ranked them and it starts to feel mean when you have the people at the bottom. But I'm like, but if this person were to win, they'd have to do something so cool that it would be amazing to see how they pull that off. Like, okay, great. Like, let's see what happens. And maybe that season would be good. And, you know, I go more old school because that's just where my mindset goes. Like, mm-hmm. I love Colby and Jenna. That would be amazing to see one of them pull it off. Coach, Sari, obviously. And honestly,
Stephanie. Okay, so I was going to say, Sari, my favorite Survivor player of yeah. all time. So, like, she was parenthetical number one.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there's a lot of excitement about 50. And, you know, I mean, we're only on July 15th, right? We found out this cast on May 25th or 24th, whatever it was. I was in Disney World. I remember that. So I was like, we found out that cast. I'm in the hotel room recording that. So we've only known it for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
And there's still so much excitement. Like, I don't feel like people have fizzled out and are saying, okay, let's move on. Let's talk about something else. It's still what other random thing can we do that's involving Survivor 50, and people are pumped because it's been so long. The last time that we saw a returning player season was pre-COVID. Like yeah. we haven't had excitement post-COVID like this around Survivor.
The world was a very different place in so many ways. So makes me excited, makes me a little nervous, you know, to circle back mm-hmm. to a point we talked about at the very beginning of the podcast, to have, you know, certain sectors of the fan base react to a returning season for the first time in a long time. But regardless, like, To quote, you know, a brand that is loved by one of our Survivor 50 players that we cast on a season, we're eating good in the neighborhood right yeah. now when it comes to Survivor. And I cannot wait to continue to dig in through the rest of the year and through the beginning of next.
I love it. Well, we recasted Survivor 50 and then we just had like 25 minutes of conversation about nothing of the recasting.
Yeah, we ended up going longer than the first podcast.
I know. We said it would be short and we're like, well, you'll be good. He's like, I got to run. And then, I mean, we were pretty much done. And then we just kept on going because that's what we do. I mean, the two of us, we could sit here and talk about Survivor until we turn to.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, Mike, well, what else do you have going on? I know you said you have Big Brother happening now, but what else could people find you with?
Yeah, so the big thing that I do is the Reality Flash, where I do breaking news in the world of reality TV for RHAP. I'm actually going to hop off right now and do a quick one because the Primetime Emmy nominations were announced today, and there was a considerable amount to get into. Speaking of a Survivor, for the second year in a row, it skipped last year, I believe, but it was nominated this year once again for Outstanding Reality Competition Program. Jeff Probst was nominated for Outstanding Host, and I believe for the first time, Jesse Tannenbaum and Company nominated for Outstanding Casting of a Reality Program. So I think it got like maybe quite literally several categories in total in terms of nominations. But congratulations to Survivor.
That's awesome, too. And I think Eva and Joe really helped bring that back into the mainstream. Like, I could see Survivor winning these for the first. I don't know when the last time Survivor won any of these awards.
Yeah, they never won Outstanding Reality Competition. Jeff won the first four host awards back to back to back to back. And I'll get into it on the podcast. You know, and he might be a bit of a long shot, but I think it could definitely has an outside chance at a couple of these awards.
Yeah, especially just the Eva and Joe story is something that really captured people in a different way outside of the Survivor sphere. So maybe that could be what it takes to actually get it to win. Fingers crossed, because it should have won a lot more awards in the past than it has. But cool. All right, well, for everybody else who's listening, as you know, we are going through our Everything You Need to Know About series. Dropped Chrissy Hoffbeck yesterday. So if you want to check that one out, make sure you do. We're only, I think, 12 in. So we still have 10 more people to go. We haven't done names like Q, Angelina, Mike White, Aubrey, Coach. We have a lot of people left for that one. And we're doing our Defining Episode series, which tomorrow we'll be dropping our Charlie Defining Episode, which is Mama Bear. And then we'll be getting into the martyr approach, which I literally never get tired of talking about. I think I've said it's the best episode in the history of the show. And number I think I've done
23 on the greatest moments in Survivor history countdown. Coach's trip to exile.
Maybe should have been one. But I really do think that episode, I think I've done maybe 10 podcasts just dedicated to that episode. And I never get tired of talking about it. It's so good. So we have a lot of that stuff going on as well. Follow us on social media. We've been a little bit less active over there. But this way, if you want to see when things are going live, you can at least see that. And patreon.com/thespecialist, you can get all of our Every Season Matters. I'm covering AU Survivor over there as I try to catch up viciously before we get into AU versus the world. And then we also do rock draws, we do some movie stuff, and we do just a whole bunch of fun stuff. So go check out our Patreon, see if that's something that interests you. Otherwise, like this video, subscribe to the channel. Mike, it's always a pleasure. This hour and 15-minute podcast can now end at an hour and 45, just like it always does.
The pleasure was all mine. Anytime, man, I'll be back here talking Survivor 50, 49, anything to do with Survivor. You know that I'm more than happy to chat with you about it.
I got you on speed dial, man. All right, we'll see everybody later.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.